Previously on the Atypical Sports Show.
We have the Mavericks of Dallas, Texas versus the assembled Heat of the Miami metropolitan area. Who do you like, Robert?
Unfortunately, I like Dallas in seven.
Do you like them or do you want them?
I want Dallas in seven. I like Heat in six.
Hold on. I'm confused now. What do you mean you like Heat in six?
I think the Heat are going to win in six, but I'd like to say Dallas would win in seven.
May I ask, why do you want Dallas to win?
Just because I'm just kind of leaning towards, you know, Jason Terry, the hometown championship for Tacoma, Washington. JT, bring that belt home to the 206. And you know
who I'll be happy for realistically?
Gloria.
I'm rooting for Dallas to win because I can't wait to bring back Jason Kidd's son's head in the press conference.
Sports Radio.
Atypical.
That's a big head mother, man.
Welcome to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Rob Reed and Key. I said Rob Reed. That was crazy. With your host, Rob and Key, Atypical Sports Show brought to you today in all seriousness by True Blonde Double, Belgian Style Golden Ale. If you ain't never had a True Blonde, you tripping. What's up, Key?
Man, this is straight out of Durango, Colorado from the Scar Brewing.
What, did Rich send you that?
No, man, my whole new thing now is...
Oh, here we go.
I love doing a show.
Right.
And part of the show is a routine. Like, it's a process. It's a progress. It's just like you bring in your notebook.
Mm-hmm.
You open your notebook.
I bring in my laptop.
You do your mental notes.
I don't prepare.
I go to the liquor store down the street from the Mill Avenue Studios.
And I wait for you to bring something.
No, I'm not doing it anymore. That's not part of the routine. Because I didn't like...
That was just to get me hooked. See, I feel like it was like you was my pit.
Yeah.
I was like, no, for years you've been my semi... Like, you've been laying it out
push
there.
Push your man.
Yeah.
I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. I'm that podcaster in the alley.
And then all
you
of a sudden I'm drinking.
Beer, you want gin. Get some more. We gonna win. I'm your pusher.
And I start drinking and then you start condemning me. And then now you start bringing different liquor and beer to the place. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. My fault.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's for me.
Okay.
My whole thing is I got a cool little companionship with the buddy who sells the liquor. But you know what? I feel like I actually cheated him out today. Because listen to this. You know there's that liquor store over there, the drive-through one.
Yes.
Over there where the LA Fitness is at.
That's
that
the
whole
best
arena.
Idea ever. Yeah.
So I've been going there the last few months. But today I kind of went another route because I dropped my mother off at the airport. She's on her way to Atlantic City. What up, Mom? Play that 23 on that roulette. And so I kind of went a different way. So I stopped by that JP's where that cigarette store is at. He has some of the finest coolers in Southern Arizona. He has some of the most exotic beers. Like, so I love going in there getting me some strange beer.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
If you got to get strange any way you can get it, that's the way you want to get his beer.
I want to try a new beer every week for the rest of my life.
What's your breakdown of this? What is it?
Well, this right here is a True Blonde Double. Dubail, maybe that's what it's called. I don't know. But it's got two blondes with short plaid skirts on it. And they're riding Vespas. And it's called the Ska Brewing Company. And if you see the top of the spout, it looks like there's blonde, waxy hair flowing from it. So it had a great presentation. And guess what?
Is it good?
I bought it.
Is it good?
It's cold. And it has,
and it has beer in it.
8% alcohol by
damn!
Volume. So it's almost a double up. That's why they call it the Two Blonde Double Up. Because once you drink it, you'd be dumb as a blonde.
The way you just, you shake your head, dumb as a blonde.
You be dumb as a blonde. You don't even know. You know, who am I spiriting right now? I was the spirit animal of another character. I
knew what spiriting meant, and I don't think that's really
like
a word.
Hello. Was it Antoine Dawson?
You saying Antoine Dawson dead?
That was so sad.
Oh man, is it death day again?
Yeah,
hey, Antoine Dawson.
You know what? We haven't
well
recognized yet.
What
is there's going to be a slew of quasi-stars that's famous to us now that's going to die like in 30 or 40 years?
Yeah.
Are they going to be blips in the USA Today? Like, and today, Letarian Milton has died today.
If you don't remember, no, by then it'll be like the Hogwarts, it'll be like Harry Potter where all the videos, people, when you show the newspaper, their face will come alive. Yeah. Then you'll see Aunt Letarian smoking a cigarette, talking about cigarettes, and then that's how they'll remember him.
I'll try to do hood rat things with my friends. R.I.P. He was a very special person for 4 weeks in the Twitter world and in YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. How famous is famous going to be when Twitter? I mean, do we really care anymore? Say, do you care right now, dude? I mean, is your heart into this NBA Finals? I mean, I know you said emotionally you damn near want the LeBron to win more than the Chicago Bulls because you want... Well, I'll let you explain your position. Why is it more emotional for you to want a man such as LeBron James to win so dearly? I mean, why do you want it so bad?
Great question, Rob. We're going to come back after the break. No, I'm just kidding. honestly, man, that was a great question because I was questioning myself that. Like, I was catching myself, why am I so excited or why am I so sad after game two?
Right.
Why was I so happy after game three?
Uh-huh.
Why did I become sad again after game two? I mean, game four.
Right.
So, you know what it felt like? Have you ever in a
met
situation...
Met a girl that you tried to date? Okay.
Kind of. Have you ever went to outside of your car, into like a parking lot, like a grocery store, and you open up a car door that you think is yours?
Oh, my God.
And you sit in it you feel like...
I know about you.
Yeah.
I ain't never sat in somebody's car,
listen,
but go ahead.
I took it to this level. Me and my buddy Stacy, we were barbecuing at his house. The wives were watching the kids and prepping the food.
Right.
So we went to the grocery store. I try to make it sound like we weren't bitches because we got sent to the grocery store.
Right,
I try to make it sound all masculine. Yeah, they was in there prepping the food, getting ready, so they sent us to the grocery store. Why they washing the kids and washing the diapers and shit. No, but on the real, we went to the store, came out the store, I had a bag. Honda Pilot, just look just like mine. So I opened up the back. There was a car. There was a baby seat in the middle. Put the grocery in the seat. And, you know, I said, because I pushed the boop, boop. So I didn't, like, use the key to open it.
Right, right.
They left it unlocked. So I'm putting the key in the ignition, trying to turn it. And Stacy's like, he's like, dude, you don't know how to work your freaking car. What's going on, man? I'm like, no, dude, I don't know what's going on. And then
is
all
he
of a
in
sudden,
the car with you too?
Yeah, he's sitting next to me
so
too.
So like, both doors shut.
Both doors are shut. We ready to roll. So I'm like, dude, it felt like you remember watch Usual Suspects when all of a sudden you just start looking around and you see clues that's Kaiser Soza or that's not my car, broza. Like I was looking around like, oh,
right,
oh,
right,
a CD,
the reality.
Oh my God, it was
Lionel
like,
Richie.
You know, like Willie Nelson, a roach clip. I don't know about you.
Was it a roach clip?
No, I'm just kidding.
Damn.
Yeah,
that was my car. All right, go ahead.
And so all of a sudden, it's like, damn, this ain't my car. So all of a sudden, that's how I felt about LeBron and the Miami.
Hold on,
Heat.
Finish the story.
Oh no, so we got out.
Did
closed
you get
the
out
door,
all fast and shit? Like
got out, and then here's you're right. I'm glad you stopped.
I'm about to say, how does it end like
I'm
that?
I'm glad you stopped me for evacuating this.
I'm interested.
Story.
I want to hear this.
So we grabbed the bags without thinking. So
right.
I'm in my car like, oh, my goodness. And literally, right. it was I've got to get an excuse because it was literally two cars apart
okay.
from each other.
Okay.
So I was in the
all
same
right.
row, same area.
Right.
And I think I even heard my car go boop, boop.
Right. You probably did because it was that close, right?
It was that close. So we get in the car. I said, oh, my God, we laughing. Yeah, did we tell the girls that? They probably think we was high or we was drunk or something, you know. So then all of a sudden I said, Did we get the groceries? Because you don't know when you're evacuating things, you don't have time to remember what the hell
right,
to do.
Right, right.
But the mind's amazing, Rob. You know why the mind's amazing? Because you can do things without thinking.
Right.
You can drive literally
right.
30 minutes a day going
without
to work.
Without even looking.
Get to work and be like, how did I get here?
Exactly.
Who was I talking to on
right,
the phone?
Right.
How did I take these groceries, pack up, like we had like 4 or 5 bags of groceries
right.
put in different areas of the car.
Right.
Had it all. And that's where I'm trying to come back to the feeling of me being a Miami Heat fan. I'm in their car and it's not my car. Things
right.
don't feel right because at the same time, it's like I don't know who to call, who to commiserate with, who to talk to, because I feel like a fake fan, and I was. I wasn't an owner of that car.
Right.
I wasn't an owner of that team.
Right.
I had no vested interest. At the end of the day, when I checked my mailbox and it said Honda credit source, my name wasn't on that bill. That was a different Honda Pilot.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
My name is not on the Miami Heat fans' base. But then I came to this conclusion, Rob. I was sold with that Honda Pilot because you know why? I liked it, the original pilots of that Pilot, because I love LeBron James. And we're coming to an era now where it's going to be funny for kids. Are you going to be fans of teams like we were? The reason why we were fans of teams is because that's the most access of a team you had because they were local.
Right.
It made sense to follow your local team because you can digest and you could have a buffet, a smorgasbord of information about that team because everybody was talking about it. In today's world, you can be a Boston Red Sox fan in Sacramento, California. You know what I'm saying? Because once, first of all, there's a lot of fans there that like them. And, you know, that probably was a bad example. You can be a Tampa Bay.
You could be a Yankees fan of Tampa Bay.
No. Here's a better example. You could be a Tampa Bay Rays fan in Sacramento, California, because there's not Sacramento. There's not Tampa Bay Rays fans everywhere.
Right.
But you can still follow them online. You can read the newspapers online. You can check the YouTube clips. You can go to the blogs. You can go to the websites. The access of the information is still there.
Right.
So that's where it's different, because you still can be fans of the teams. But I think people are now more so going to be fans of the individual, as I am with LeBron. And that's my whole point I was trying to get through.
So that's the answer to my question.
Yeah. I am a fan of that man because.
Why? Why are you such a fan of LeBron, man?
I was since day one. Since I seen The Chosen One, I was watching. I remember watching.
Oh, remember you? Yeah. We were talking about
that. I remember watching him in high school. Right. I forgot the name of the high school, Saints.
St. Vincent.
Yeah, it had two names too, right?
St. Vincent, St. Mary.
Yeah, that was another weird name too. How did it have two names?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Anyways, Catholics can do whatever.
Yeah, they can do it. They can also have a school and not be in a conference and take all the money to themselves and have their own network, NBC.
Evil. All right.
Evil bastards.
So that was the foundation of you just following it from the beginning.
And I mean, it's kind of easy.
But here's the deal, though. I think there's a little more to it that you're not understanding right now.
There's a limit of my understanding of my self-awareness of why I like
LeBron. Yes, it's one of those things like what you don't know that you don't know. Can I have them horns, please?
Word.
The original. It never gets old, baby. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but I want to go to Word of the Day right now. And the reason why I'm bringing Word of the Day, because I think it's perfect for this scenario for this show today. So I have to bring in Word of the Day. So like you like to do, you like to bring in the beginning so we can use the word throughout the whole show. So the word of the day today is, it's not difficult, but it's relevant.
It's not difficult, but it's hard.
And it has a hyphen in it. So I'm going to help you out, okay? Cater cousin.
Wow. CATER/COUSIN.
I'm going to give it to you on a slash when it's really a hyphen, but I knew what you meant. Cater cousin, that is correct.
I'm going to slash your throat.
That is correct, man. Could you give me the meaning of that, please?
First of all, I can't even get past the fact that you're trying to clown me over slash a dash.
And no, I'm not trying to clown. I'm just correcting you because I want the people out there to know that we do operate an official show. Remember, this is the Uncle Tom portion right now.
Oh.
This is for my boy, Rodimus. Shout out. It's Uncle Tom portion. We like to get things correct here on the show. Okay, so Cater Cousin comes with a dash, not a slash.
I can guarantee you this. I'm not going to get this next part correct.
You ain't going to get it right.
No, Cater Cousin. Come on, cousin. Cater me to this answer.
Okay,
boy.
So Cater Cousin is intimate friend.
I don't know how this relates to LeBron, but I'm all ears.
Well, I just think that you have an intimate friendship with LeBron.
Oh, man.
No. I'm going to tell you what. The reason why the reason why is because it's almost like people you protect. You like LeBron, right? Everybody loved LeBron for a while. You loved him too. And then now he did this decision thing. Everybody's turning against LeBron. So it almost makes you stand even more firm in the fact that you want this guy to win. Because I'm telling you, man, I'm so torn like Natalie and Brulia. I want my boy JT from Tacoma, Washington, to bring home that belt. But on the other hand, if they do win, I will feel bad for LeBron because they will ride his black ass forever. And the thing about it is, LeBron is not on any track that's not going to lead him to a championship. If he doesn't win it this year, I don't think it's something to where there's something wrong, that he's not a good player, maybe he's not built to win it. I don't think any of that at all. In fact, I think very clearly when I say LeBron doesn't have to win this year or next year. I believe that he'll get his championship. But we want things so fast in our society. We want it right now. We expect victory right now. We expect it all. He expects it. So now they want to ride him if he doesn't do it. And then all the spotlight's on him. So my heart is kind of like, I feel bad if LeBron did lose, because I feel like I would have to come to his defense and even be more of a staunch supporter of him, because people are going to be ignorant and talk about, oh, he's just overrated and he doesn't deserve it and he didn't have the heart. But I'll tell you one thing he cannot shake and he has to do something about it is him disappearing, man.
Let me cater this point to your cousin. You know, I think as fans, and even not as LeBron fans, just fans of watching sports, we're doing a lot of criticizing without enjoying,
for real,
something special.
Exactly.
Something epic. You know, it's
fresh.
It's something where it's fun to criticize people.
Oh, it is.
Or it's fun to have an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
It's like people want to be like, yo, what's your take on LeBron? And I hear that question at least once every other day.
Exactly.
And people in general, people, random people.
Right.
And it's like, you know what, man? Enjoy that young man. Enjoy those skills. Enjoy his athleticism. Enjoy that Karl Malone body doing some Magic Johnson shit.
Yeah, enjoy this playoffs, man. You excited? Obviously, I bet you their numbers are up. People watching these playoffs who quote-unquote don't like LeBron. He's exciting to watch, man. I mean, you just, I appreciate what I'm watching out there, man. And everybody has weaknesses. Who am I to say if he disappeared because he's scared or whatever? I don't think any of that.
You know what your weakness is?
What?
That damn Blue Moon alcohol.
You're right.
You never fit up in my shoes, so don't try them on. I always tear it up about as calm as a quiet storm. Legendary lyricist, nice guy persona. My song celebrate life, and you can plan for your mama. But don't make the mistake of trying to play me. Unless you a DJ, don't get it twisted. I'm still from BK. When I'm from, better keep it in your mouth and flavor Flav. Where I'm from, even a chick spit razor blade. Before I sucker or I take you back to school. A fool can't play the wise, but the wise can act a fool. Stay cool in my man and then just put in my work. Don't push, you don't know what's up under my shirt. Me for soft, I got a heart that pump like a 12-gauge shotty when it starts to dump. Use a mystery, cause you don't know who you running towards. I got history, that shit is told by those who want the war.
Show 480-664-9378, the A-Tip Show. Follow us on Atypical Sports on Twitter, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes. Before we hit the break, dude. Huh? Dude, let me ask you a question, man. Seriously.
How was your weekend, Rob?
No.
Oh, my weekend was good, Rob. Thanks for asking me. Hey, man, this weekend I was...
What did you do last weekend,
and I started painting houses.
What did you do last weekend, Key?
Nothing. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, ask me.
What did you do last weekend?
I don't know. Nothing fun. Go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say, man. You threw me off my loop.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
All right, can I tell you what I did last weekend?
Sure. What was this weekend? The end of May? Beginning of June?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. Nothing. I went golfing. That's
oh,
all.
Oh, man, dude, I miss golfing a little bit.
Man, I wish, dude. See, that's what I, you know what?
So, a little bit, though.
So, the Key, this is the deal. Before we started the show, remember I said I wanted to talk to you about something, and then I said, nah, forget it, because I was going to implore you. I was going to try to convince you to pick up golfing again, and the reason why being is because we about to go up and get a cabin up north just for like a golfing weekend with the homeboys for the weekend.
You know what, though? This is the wrong time of year to encourage any person in Arizona to start golfing.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, it's summertime.
That's
golf.
What I'm saying. But just
I know,
take
but
it
I'm not going
weekend.
Out there all cold ass. Like, I ain't golfed in 3 years. Hey, man, I'm going golfing in Payson or Prescott. But guess what, dude? It's all burnt down.
Man, they trying to burn us down, man.
Man, that Wallow Fire was like Wallow, Wallow,
how did
Wallow.
It start?
You know, man, that's funny you asked that.
You know
how it happened a couple years ago?
Uh-huh.
Somebody who was a volunteer firefighter or emergency firefighter he started the fire because he needed work. That was what happened 2 years ago. So, you know, sometimes it looks like the person that's trying to save you is the person that actually put you in that position so they can save you.
Right.
Hopefully that's what LeBron's doing.
Okay, I think, dude, that's the best hope. Yeah. So it's like, that's what Kobe used to do.
Yeah. Look, I saved you.
Exactly.
But LeBron don't have that mentality.
No, he don't have that mentality. That's what's scary, even more scary right now.
I think that's
right
where
now.
You were going to go before I interrupted you.
Yeah, that's what even makes it more scarier because, I mean, what is your opinion of that?
I mean,
what happened?
I try not to criticize, and I try to pat him on his back. All I know, at the end of the third quarter, he was approaching a triple-double. Fourth quarter came, and there was a lot of things that happened that a lot of people aren't talking about. I think, most importantly, I have my point. I want to hear what you think was the most important reason why they collapsed in those games, in those even games 2 and 4.
The first game, I think it was, they took it a little easy. And I think that with taking a foot off the gas a little bit and then the other team getting a little bit more energy, I think that's what was a perfect synergy that made them come back and Dallas win that game, game two. Game four is very interesting to me, is because the whole time it just felt like it was inevitable that Miami was going to win that game. I was very surprised that Dallas even, because we've been watching basketball long enough, Key. You can tell the flow of games. You know what I mean? You know, when on the first game, if the home team wins, the second game, the road team will probably maintain a 7-point lead throughout the whole third quarter, you know, until it gets into the fourth quarter, and then it'll probably even, but usually the road team maintains that lead. It's the flow of the game that we've been watching NBA for years, how it goes. The flow of the game was that, oh, Miami has the confidence. They're up on the road. Dirk is sick. There's no way in the world that Miami's going to lose this game. And then I don't know what happened.
Okay, so you're answering your question with another question because you're that perplexed.
I looked up. I tweeted. I was like, how did they win this game? Because I looked at so many missed shots. Deshaun Stevens missed open threes. Jason Terry kept missing open threes. It was just it was weird. Like, I look at the stat line. Nobody was really balling. Dirk was, but Dirk was only balling like 6-for-19 shooting. Nobody was balling. And I'm like, okay, so if nobody was balling and they win that game, Miami might be in a little bit of trouble because now they got nothing to lose. Game five, there it is.
Well, same thing you said. Miami wasn't balling either. So, I mean, that's
a
wash.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
No, it's not a wash because Miami doesn't count on balling offensively. Not at all. They win games balling defensively. So Dallas not balling offensively and winning that game is more of a stretch for me than Miami not having a good offensive game and then losing the game. I mean, it doesn't matter to me on that aspect. Dallas don't miss open threes, and they were missing a gang of open shots. Should have lost that game. Miami should have won that game. Bottom line, that's Miami's game. They lost that game.
Bingo, kids. That's exactly the point I was going to bring, or maybe it was a fraction or a portion of the point. Rob said the key word, defense. I've never seen a team like that change their defensive strategy. Like, I don't know what's going on defensively. Homework, kids. Listen to this. Listen to Key Holmes right now. Homework for game number five.
Who's defensive strategy? Miami's?
Yeah, Miami's. I don't know, because I mean, every game that they've lost or even almost lost, if you want to include game three, was too close for comfort. It always was an 18-2 run. It was a 16-4 run. Like, how are these runs happening?
Well, that's a good question.
Is it a defensive philosophy or is it a change of effort? Because normally, as we say, defense shouldn't get cold.
No.
Like, I can get where you're missing shots and you kind of get nervous.
Right.
But defense should all be about some kind of energy. I don't know if Spoelstra is changing the strategy.
No.
He's not being as aggressive. Because those passing, I think it's almost like the mentality of prevent defense in football.
Right.
Hey, don't go for the interception. Go back. But, you know, in the first three quarters, it's like they get the passing lanes. They're not afraid of getting beat.
Right.
That's the whole thing. You're not afraid of having someone take you to the hole because you are being aggressive on defense. That's where people aren't talking about. And that's the whole point I was trying to make is I think it's a defensive mentality or maybe it's a strategy that Spoelstra is saying, but they're not being football minded, like blitzing. They're pulling back the blitz. They're being on that whole dime and nickel defense.
But that's a good point. I mean, I could say that's part of it. What I think is that their offense is so predicated upon their defense because their half court offense sucks. So
you're right, yeah.
So when they go down in the first three quarters, they're running, and you know how they always do. It's
weird. Why do you run, Rob? Why do you run?
Because you're playing good. Exactly.
And you know what another thing about defense is?
Right.
Rebounding.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But in the fourth quarter, everything is slowed down.
Ah, yeah.
And you don't have that pressure.
Yes.
Where you can't do the passing lanes. It's all slowed down to half court. Well, it's not about passing. It's about getting individual matchups. And then if you don't have an offense that can score and you don't have an offense that can score and run a half court offense, well, guess what? You have three possessions in a row where you don't score because it's half court. And then you go back down and you're frustrated you haven't scored in the half court. And then they match up and they isolate Dirk Nowitzki on you and he gets 10 points in that quarter. Yes. And you're frustrated. And then you got to go back down the court without having a fast break point and then do it half court again. And then you got a bitch ass Chris Bosh who will give you a jumper 15 footer, but you can't dump down into him and get you tough points in the paint. And that's the problem.
You saw how he was fumbling and stumbling, looking like stumbling with that ball.
Here's the funny thing. If I was charting Chris Bosh's skills, Chris Bosh balls when there's no stress.
Yeah, and that's most human beings.
Right.
Another thing, as far as us fans, we act like we're watching robots.
Right, exactly. Like it don't get to them. And I do respect it because of game five tomorrow. Like yesterday, they were up 2-1, right? And they played that game, and Chris Bosh had a great game. How much you want to bet he's 3-for-15 tomorrow? How much you want to bet? With about 12 points. But Wade and LeBron will get theirs. But the whole thing that hasn't happened throughout the whole series, but maybe one time in the Philadelphia series, is all three of them fools ain't balled. It's been 2 of 3. And not all three of them fools in one game have not balled yet.
You know what? I appreciate your opinion. I know you appreciate
my soliloquy.
I appreciate my opinion, but you know what? We need another opinion. Let's call up some of the homies and see what they're thinking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hello.
What up, money bags?
What's going down, man?
What up, T Hunt? Yo, it's my boy T Hunt from the crib. And man, we've sitting here, and of course my boy Key here with us. You know, what up, Key? He's got a holler, man.
Hey, we good, man. You know, after we have our little segment, I got to shoot you my phone number so you can we can have some freestyle battles again.
Yes, sir.
Did he tell you that I freestyle for the first time in maybe a year on his phone 2 days ago?
Nobody cares.
And let me tell you something, and I blew this nigga up. Yeah.
He caught me off guard. He had like 98 bars and stuff. I had to get a little 8 bars together real quick. I couldn't even come with 8 on me.
Yeah, it's like you do too much, Rob. We delete it. It's too much. I get it. It's not for us. Right. It is for you, but it's too much. T Hunt, man, what up, man? You been watching the playoffs?
You know that, man. You know that's what I do.
Hey, man, we was talking about the NBA players. We was talking about, we was breaking it down like LeBron and like how Key is a big fan of LeBron, likes him better than almost, but wants him to win almost more than his hometown Chicago Bulls, because we established that there's just a connection that we have with LeBron as talent A. And I was saying that it's almost like I stick up for LeBron because I tell him I'd rather have Dallas win because I want JT to get a belt, you know, from Curtis High School, Tacoma, Washington, and I want him to get a belt. But if they lose, I feel bad about LeBron because I think everybody going to ride that fool, give him a hard time, when I think that really it's just due process. He going to get his.
So what's your opinion, T?
I called it out long ago. When he first left, I said, now they got a reason to hate him because the kid really don't do much anything else wrong. He does take too much of the blame. I think he's underrated. You saw last night what happens when he's not really involved in the offense. Their offense, their half-court offense is terrible. He's the best player in the league. And I don't know if it stems from Laker fans that hate him the most, because that's such a nerd with Kobe. He's not the best anymore. I don't know what it is. I want him to win one, but I still want J.K. to win one. I want J.T. to win one. I want LeBron to win one. It's kind of like when you knew Jordan was going to win one. He's going to eventually win one. I just don't think it's real cool that they try to make it, even when they are winning, a situation where they're trying to make it a negative situation, trying to almost make Dwayne hate on LeBron or LeBron hate on D-Wade or whatever. But I know this. It's unprecedented. I don't think anyone that hasn't done anything wrong or anyone that hasn't been in trouble has been scrutinized like this cat.
No, not at all. And especially somebody who, at the foundation of just the concept alone of not having a father, not having a father. I know there's a lot of brothers out there without fathers, but I'm talking about dudes. We always talk about athletes who get in trouble because, you know, they don't got nobody guiding them. They got their friends around. And this dude has made great decisions, not gotten in trouble, not beat nobody up, and just basically gave Cleveland great 7 years. And then he's treated like that. So, man, in one aspect, we on the same page. But the other aspect, it still doesn't explain what happened to this dude in the fourth quarter. And
oh, I don't know if he's tired or not. He may be tired, man. He may really be tired.
Yeah, you know.
All the basketball he's played the last 8 years, he may really, just like Dwayne, I thought Dwayne hit the wall at the end of the Boston Celtics series in Chicago.
Yep.
LeBron may be tired. He's played the most minutes of any motherfucker going right now.
Yep.
T-Hun, I'm glad
you know, and then, you know, there might be maybe a situation where everybody's saying Dwayne should close, because he's normally playing against Jason Kidd one-on-one. You can't run and trap Dwayne. He is a true guard. LeBron is too big. You can run and trap him, or you can just double it. They were just taking the ball out of his hands, making Dwayne play, but he might be tired.
I'm glad you brought
There's no doubt. He's guarding a guy 7 inches shorter than him. He's been guarding guys smaller than him. He might be tired, man. That might just be it.
Hey, I'm glad you brought the human element back into our whole criticism, because I think people are forgetting that we're watching humans and not robots. You're right. He's tired. Oh, yeah. And I appreciate you bringing that perspective to the podcast world and to ears that may not have recognized that our criticism is against human beings and people get tired. And I respect that. I do have another follow up to that is human beings need other human beings to be great. Now, one thing that I am going to have a critical eye on was the halftime speech that LeBron gave to the team.
I didn't see that.
It seemed kind. Did you see it, T-Hunt?
No, I didn't.
When he was like, yo, we got to do this mano y mano. Hey, yo, Mike, play the clip real quick.
Let's continue to play desperate. That's the only way we know how to play basketball. That's the best way we know how to play, is when we play desperate and we feel like our back is against the wall. Even though we are 2-1, I still feel like our back is against the wall. And this is a must-win game. Every game we approach, our back is against the wall, and it's a must-win game. Don't ever come out of a situation where you feel like, damn, if I'd have did this a little bit harder, or I'd have did that a little bit smarter, or I'd have gave us a better chance to win the ball game. Lay it all on the line tonight and play Miami Heat basketball, man.
Okay. See, he's that type of person. And right. There's people that your personality is just not that personality.
Right.
When me and Rob do satellite shows, Rob is going to be the one talking to people that we don't know. Rob is good with talking to strangers and making them feel comfortable knowing us. That's Rob's thing. I have a different personality where I might be more technical and doing other things. So sometimes you're just not built to do certain things like closing the games or actually having the pressure on you or motivating other players. Because there's another point that I saw in Game 3, the game that they won, when D-Wade walked up to LeBron and chastised him and said, I can't do this alone. I need your help. That in itself tells me that LeBron will never be that alpha compared to like how Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal will ever be, because those guys will never need or can never. I can never picture anyone cussing those guys out on the floor. Not cussing them out, but just motivating them.
Not even cussing them out, but saying the words, I need your help alone.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no alpha dog who's had somebody tell them, I need your help.
Well, that's what D. Wade said.
But that's what I'm saying.
D. Wade was saying it.
I think that's involved. There's no doubt who's the better player on the team. I don't care if Dwayne goes for 40.
Chalmers is the best player on that team.
I've watched the game. I've watched basketball. LeBron James is better than Dwayne Wade. Everybody knows that, period. Dwayne Wade is set up to have a great series because of the matchup. He may be tired. He could be a little sensitive, too. He might be tired of, even when they're doing well, hearing that something ain't right.
Yes. Yes.
He's always LeBron first. He is always looking to make the best basketball play.
Yes.
And what did everybody do? The media made him seem like he was a punk because he wasn't always shooting final shots. And I'm thinking to myself, man, his first series against Washington, he closed like three games out.
Yes.
He passed one up. He don't want the shot.
Right.
82-game season, when they're traveling night in, night out, he misses a lot of closing shots. Oh, he can't close. I'm like, what are you talking about? He took Cleveland to the finals when they had no business being in the finals.
Right, but you know what, the thing about LeBron is it doesn't make him lesser of a player, nor does it make him less of a player the fact that he is not the one who has the basketball in his hands the last shot.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
You think about Bosch's shot.
Yeah.
That he made.
Right.
And
here's the deal. Not only through the pass, but right in his throwing motion, a flick underhanded, right in his throwing motion, and right in his shooting motion, and he just pulled it. I mean, that's us people. Now we have to separate our conversation versus the people out there conversation. But when I saw that pass, I was like, damn. Mother Bubba's ain't gonna ever understand how sick that pass was that LeBron just made without even looking. And not many people can make it.
With him being an alpha dog, he's always been an alpha dog. He's just been a good enough dude to come into a situation kind of like where A-Rod fucked it up. A-Rod came into New York, and A-Rod was by far the best player in the major leagues. But he came to Derek Jeter's team. Jeter already won a title. Jeter's captain. Jeter's the guy. He is with the Yankees. A-Rod, the best player, just came to play in New York. He's the best player, but it's Jeter's team. Nothing wrong with that. D-Wade already won a title in Miami. There's nothing wrong with D-Wade being the captain and being a leader. But I think when people nitpick, and I think the media, and I take it even deeper, I just look at how they treat black athletes, and then you take the one that's doing a lot of shit right, excuse my language, a lot of things right. He's a great teammate. He shares. He took less money, so he's not greedy in that sense. And then you try to find reasons to vilify him. Even when he's succeeding, I don't get it. I've never seen him before.
Hey,
Even Jordan was gambling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even Magic was going out having parties and stuff like that. This kid has pretty much kept his dirt clean, or dirt underneath the carpet.
Oh, heck yeah, heck yeah.
Hey, your point has been heard. Hey. Your point has been heard, and it is valid as hell as far as, once again, it's about the chemistry of the team. And I'm going to tell you one thing before we get off the phone real quick. Get your game together for Rob's 40th birthday party in Vegas, because then we'll see who the alpha dog is amongst us. Because it's alpha dog weekend, 40th birthday weekend. I appreciate you calling us, T-Hunt. Stay on those playoffs, man. We love your observation and your eye. We'll get with you next week, all right?
Holla at your boy.
Peace.
I'm only human, a flesh and blood I'm made.
Human, born to make mistakes.
Are you a parent with a young son or a daughter that you're looking to lay a solid baseball foundation? Or are you a high school student who wants to build on that foundation and take your game to the next level? Arizona Core Baseball is what you need. Arizona Core Baseball is Arizona's professional baseball and softball instruction. Arizona Core Baseball provides you with video analysis, one-on-one lessons with former major league players, and they have placed over 180 student athletes at the college level. Contact Rafael Maccioni at 480-343-0582. That's 480-343-0582 to schedule your next lesson. Arizona Core Baseball has 3 Valley locations. Go to ArizonaCoreBaseball.com to find a facility near you.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Dude, hey, what's up, y'all? It's the Atypical Sports Show.
Right.
I want to ask you some questions because a lot of people got a lot of judgments, but I don't think you really recognize if you looked your motherfucking eyes in the mirror, what would you do? Huh?
What would you do
if you just straight got out of prison because you shot yourself in the foot and everybody looking at you all crazy? What would you do?
What would you do if you get out of prison, you have some white dude 5'10" jump in your arms knowing that you got to hug him because he's paying you what you need to get paid?
What would you do if 3 years ago you were sitting up here in Glendale, Arizona, catching game-winning passes, fast forward 1 year, and then you all off in Rikers Island trying to share bunks with some motherfucking prisoner? What would you do?
I don't know, but what would you do if you laying in prison and all of a sudden you just trying to get some sleep and you smell something funky and you look up and some niggas taking a shit right next to your head?
What would you do if you know you 6'4", you ain't got no speed, and a lockout coming, and you don't know you ain't got some bills to pay, but you gonna try to go ahead and work out for a team, but the whole damn NFL league is closed? What would you do?
What would you do if you woke up and put your application at Bank of America and said that you don't know if you gonna be working because you ain't got no job, and they reject you because they said you had a prison sentence?
What would you do because you ain't married, but then you try to get you something in prison, but you ain't married, so she gonna give you some conjugal visits, but then they talking about the paperwork ain't come through with your marriage?
Man, what would you do?
What would you do?
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Robin Key. They ain't ready to see me because he's my
N-I-G. Man up, man down. Mama, where's that man?
Hey, I was about to call us kissing cousins. What's it called? What's
cater
the word?
Cousin.
Cater cousin.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know what, man? You my cater cousin.
You
man.
My cater cousin.
You my cater cousin. What up, cater cousin?
No, but on the real
is Dwayne Wade and LeBron cater cousins?
I don't know. I think I'm done with that topic. It's so exhausting talking amongst people that don't know, and we already explained.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we just done with it, please?
No, hold on. One more thing to say.
Okay, one more. You got 10 seconds.
Who's winning the current game tomorrow?
Oh, Heat and six. I've been saying that since day one.
So Heat doing tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, obviously if you do the math, duh.
Well, I would obviously do the math only if you use the TH for it. Go ahead.
What'd I say, math?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, you know what, dude? How many, you know, my new crew got two bathrooms.
Got two bathrooms. What was that song? Got two cribs, got two doors. No, I forgot what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, you got a new crib, my boy. Hey, everybody out there in Twitter world, in the Atypical Sports Show world, Key moving next to his homeboy.
Hey,
so Key
not
gonna
that
be
close.
Within 2 to 3 miles of his homeboy Rob right now.
Yeah, that's
we right down the road.
That's something that
we right down the road, dog.
Exactly. You know what? I'm stalling right now because I had a point I wanted to go to.
What are you talking about?
You know what, man?
You got a tattoo you want to sell?
I was gonna sign these autographs for $1,000 a pop.
Dude.
Yeah, that's what
dude,
it was about.
T-Peezy
that was what it was about,
paid, dude.
That's $1,000 a pop.
Did you see? They said that he would have the he Terrell Pryor had the pants that they get when they beat Michigan.
Yeah, the he yellow was, pants.
Yeah, the
right.
Yellow no. Pants. Well, whatever.
Brown pants.
Pants.
Mustard brown. Pants.
Pants. The silk pants.
Yeah, the James Brown pants.
James Brown. And he would sign those and sell those. Do you realize how much money this fool made?
I got autographs on my pants and I need to dance.
Man, I was about to autograph my microphone.
Nobody wants it.
Nobody wants
well,
that.
Well, they actually Craigslist it for $2 because that was the value of the microphone.
Oh, okay. That's true.
The autograph. Like, it has this freaking signature on it. Can we knock a buck off?
That was the value of the microphone. So, man, T-Peezy, man, he doing his thing, man.
Hey, did you see on Outside the Line when that dude snitched on him that was his homeboy?
But how did he swear T-Peezy don't know who that nigga is?
Yeah.
I almost knew who he was, and I don't even know him. I was like, oh, that ain't nothing but Markell.
It wasn't.
That's Markell Washington.
Yeah, was like,
they had his fro. I mean, you know the nigga got hair,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And you know that he got a little
salty.
Accent.
And he's salty.
And he's salty. So that narrows everybody down.
Yeah.
And you know his voice. They didn't even change his voice, dog. Yeah.
You know what? I don't even, you know, ever since he got a little arrogant, we didn't friends anymore.
Yeah, you know, but I tell you this thing. He had, so you're telling me Terrell Pryor, Dennis came over to the house and he showed him $500. Did he pull it out of his pocket? Yeah, he pulled it out of this nigga's pocket. Well, tell me, what else did he do? Did you see Terrell Pryor handing him over evidence? Yeah, that nigga had the most rapidness. That nigga tripping.
I've never done this before, but I want to call T. Hunt again and ask his opinion on Terrell Pryor. All right. I've never done this before.
That's his nigga, but that was his dog, remember?
Yeah. Oh,
that
hey, Rob. What? You said your last nigga. Remember I said you can only say it 5 times a show?
I said nigga right there?
You said it 7 times now.
I didn't even realize I said it.
My, remember I gave you that more. I gave you the inventory. You can only say that 5. You can say shit 2 times.
Okay.
And you can say Mother Hubbard 18 times.
Okay.
You can even say motherfucker once. But what? I already said it. I just said it.
Dang it.
No, T. Hunt already said it.
No, he did.
We're past the limit.
He was cussing like
that? We're past the limit, yeah.
I would ask him about the...
No, we got to get that charge. Hey, T, we got to call you back, man. You ruined the FCC's hitting us up because you said motherfucker on the
yeah, we got a call from FCC. They talking about, man, we can't even have y'all talk. Y'all having fools on there saying the MF word and everything. We can't even roll with y'all.
The FCC tried to regulate me.
Hey, man.
And the NCAA hollering at you, too.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I know that you probably took a bubble bath tonight and had some candles and stuff for your boy Terrell Pryor, because I know you love that nigga when he came out.
Said it 9 times, Rob. Stop it.
I know you love that fool when he came out. So I know you was laid up and listened to some R&B slow jams with T-Pain and shit.
I know the game. They be trying to vilify these young brothers, man. Really. They really do.
What's your perspective on it?
OSU's going down because the coach lied. Now they're going to try to vilify the cat because he's getting what everybody else was getting. All them cats that was balling at Ohio State was getting broke off for their memorabilia.
Yeah, but T-Peasy, boy, he's signing pants and getting hundreds of dollars and stuff, dog.
Man, he ain't the first. He definitely ain't the only.
Hey, how much was you getting for your autograph? Real quick.
Mine wasn't worth it.
Don't worry, man. It's off the record, dog. It's off the record.
If I could sign my autograph and you had $100 for it, I've been doing it every week. You don't tell a young kid that ain't got much bread, he can't go make no bread.
Man, I feel you, dude. I ain't gonna lie. If somebody walked in my house and said, write your name on a pair of pants for $500, I'd write my name on my penis.
Well, guess what I did? I wrote my name on those credit card applications that was sitting outside in a mall at U of A, and I got $500 credit.
Yeah, credit.
It came in the mail 3 weeks later.
But I still got to pay
it
back.
Yeah, it was all good.
But you wouldn't put nobody in the stands, Keith.
No, I'm saying I did. But guess what? They put me in collections.
hey, Tori. So the funny thing about it is, you know, Terrell Pryor, you know, he's going in the NFL draft. Do you see him as a supplemental draft, I should say. Do you see him as a quarterback? A receiver or a tight end?
I see him doing what the Brad Cat did. Brad Smith did come out of Missouri. Now he plays with the Jets. I can see him getting in that type of role. I can see some quarterback coaching. Now remember, he came out the same year in high school. He came out the same year as your boy Cam.
Right, Cam Newton. Okay.
And he was ranked ahead of Cam. So if some people think that Cam can do that, this cat only lost what, 3 or 4 games prior in his career?
Okay, so tell me this. This is a good question. I'm going to ask everybody here, including myself. Right now, would you take Terrell Pryor or Cam Newton? Key?
I would take Terrell Pryor in a supplemental draft and be happy about it. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, what about you, T. Hunt, if you had to choose Terrell Pryor or Cam Newton?
Man, that's a tough one. I'd have to really see him in person, but I'd take Cam because he didn't win a national championship.
You know who I take? I take Terrell Pryor, man.
You know who I take? I take Thelma's husband in good time.
I was going to finish because Terrell Pryor has been hurt. His knee actually has been hurt. Cam is basically hasn't been hit that much. He's basically played 1 year of major college football. People don't even go back and dive into that whole Florida story. The reason why he was acting out there is because everybody there knew he was better than your boy Tebow, but they couldn't stop the Tebow train. That's why it all went down.
Right. Oh, yeah. I figured that was the bottom line. But all I know is this, dog. Next time we call you...
I didn't say the F word, man.
And next time we call you, man, we want to have some pertinent information about what's going on with Eastern Washington and how y'all doing for next year, your little outlook, though. So I'm going to call you. You know, we'll get back with you and kind of check up with you how the Eagles are looking for next
year. See you in the fall. Bye-bye. Hey, that's the homeboy T Hunt, man. 2 times, a double up,
we
man.
Had
that's
to call
why
him
we
because
had, we had the true blonde, two blonde double ups.
We had to do that because if you don't know, you ain't listen to the show. When Terrell Pryor first came out, Tory Hunter had a party for Terrell Pryor, a listening party for Terrell Pryor's greatest quarterback calls that he had in high school. Everybody was there, some slow jams. It was tight. So I had to call him and get his reaction on. And it was pretty much along the line that I thought it was going to be.
You know, one thing that I do want to talk about real quick is how bad are the Columbus people treating Terrell Pryor? Because that's the same vein of people that was dissing LeBron. Those are how people were.
Oh, there.
Like people talking about, hey, he left. Man, he had to leave. You ain't going to sit around there going to school and you ain't playing for 5 weeks. What were they doing?
You know why? Because there's some bitter motherfuckers up there. They bitter. They cold. They bitter. Their teams leave. They got guys who don't want to be there. And then their only hope was T-Peasy. And they got him. So you know they off of him, dude. Real bad. I wouldn't want to be there.
Well,
I
mean, give me an example of what you think happened.
Oh, like he walked into a sports bar.
Yeah.
Nigga!
I guess that was an interpretation, so that's okay. I'll give you that one.
Okay, yeah. That counts.
It was that bad? He walks into Econ. And the supply and demand is not dead, nigga!
ATPZ! How much for these pants? Won't you sign my balls? Sign my balls for a burger!
I'll tell you one thing. If you didn't have your freaking entourage with you, I know one thing. Jimmy Tressel was the best thing. A God-fearing man, faith-oriented, and I would freaking kick your ass if your entourage wasn't here.
Our program fell down as soon as we got you. I knew as soon as we had a running black quarterback and we got away from the white slow ones, this would happen. Peasy.
Dude, why don't you do us a freaking favor and pull a freaking Plaxico Burress, who's from that stupid-ass Michigan State, and shoot your own self in all your tattoos, asshole, and you come out of jail in 2 years, and quickly you wake up in hell.
I think that would make him leave. That'd make him want to transfer.
I think so. That was some very underground footage we got from the homeboy. Right. We call him the traveling recorder, TR, running around getting all of these clips to share to the ATM Nation. So thanks again, TR.
Appreciate that, TR. But I'm kind of scared of this, man, because we could get sued.
Once you step in the arena, cheetah, you're gonna be amazed when you gaze at the armor on this leader, fully clad and glad to fight a cause I won't pause. Fear is a joke, slow poke, I'm like claws that'll rip, cause your gift is merely flesh, superficial, and I wish you would give it a rest. But if you don't, I'll unsheath my Excalibur like a noble knight, so meet your challenger, a true hero, while you're a true zero, getting beat to a pulp so that you can't run for help. I heard a gulp in your throat, cause you hope that I'll be merciful, but poop up the major strut as I rehearse a few battle drills, and watch a blast spill, yellow fluid, check how I mellowly do it, face to feet, do this beat, you can tell I'm into it, as I'm pulling out my lance to kill you in advance to the winner's throne, cause I own you once you step in the arena. In the arena, or rather Coliseum, these people gathering by multitudes to see one perpetrator fall to the dust after the other, quickly disposed of at the hand of a known brother, born with an R in his heart that is Spartacus, and one-to-one combat jack, just the thought of this matchup makes gangsta want to snatch up one or two phrases from the new book with new pages of rhymes that are built like a chariot, dope vocals carry it to the battle, said if a beat was a princess, I would marry it, but now I must bow to the crowd as I stand proud, victorious, glorious. Understand now, cause battles and wars and much fights I have been through, one MC got beheaded, and you can too, forget it, cause you'd rather be just a spectator, a onlooker, afraid you may get slayed or struck by a blow from a mighty gladiator. I bet you that later you might be sad that you played yourself, cause you stepped up, just puffed out, and in just one lyric, you got snuffed out, cause rhyming is serious, I'm strong, I'm like Hercules, you'll get hurt with these lines, close the curtains, please, the suckers can jet, cause I wreck once you step in the arena.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show, man. We was going through so much paperwork in that break.
Signing all kinds of waivers and shit.
Yeah, it's too late, though. The only way we can do is if Producer Mike.
He can do
goes
it.
Back and deletes
it. He can do anything. He can
beep it,
producer beep it, Mike beep can it. Do anything.
Yeah. Producer Mike, producer Mike, producer Mike, producer Mike.
Producer Mike.
Okay, hey, you
if you say producer Mike 10,000 times, he comes.
Back
Let's try it right there. Producer Mike, producer Mike.
I don't
Mike.
Want him to come.
It's like
Mike.
Candyman. Producer Mike. Producer
I don't care if he comes or not. It's okay. Yeah. So anyways, what producer Mike did do
okay.
was he got Plexico Burress released out of jail 2 days earlier. That was incredible, huh? He's out of jail. Yay. Plex. What do you think about that? Did he got a role in the league?
Plexico? Oh, dude, definitely, dude.
Seattle would take him on.
Man, I would take him over Pete Carroll.
Because they probably, like, after the lockout's all done, you probably can get a Plexico for, like, $200 a game.
You can, like, arena
yeah,
league
yeah,
price.
It'd be like, well, he has a prison history, so that's minus 100.
Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Yes.
Yes, okay, so that's minus
that's 50, what song we playing.
That's 50% of what you're earning is deducted because of your prison history, okay?
Your prison, not your present history, but your prison history.
Yeah. So actually, your agent talked up to $275 a game.
$275 a game. We're gonna do Fry's VIP card and $150 worth of groceries.
Yeah. We'll put them on like a card, and you can use them, but you got to bring your identification, and you have a certain number, and don't try to sell it for the half price.
He don't need no more tattoos.
Yeah.
But Plexico, man, I'm glad he's out, man, because it's one of those things that I was never with him going to prison. The fact that a man goes to prison for carrying a gun and shoots himself and is not the type of person to try to kill anybody, and he goes to prison for 2 years, and there's people out there, I just...
A lot happened in 2 years, man.
I mean, a lot can happen, dude. He can come out and not be able to log on to his internet account. He don't know about Facebook.
He don't know about Facebook,
I guarantee.
He don't remember his password.
He does not remember his Facebook passwords. And I know them porn accounts, them 99 cent porn accounts, he can't even log in there no more because Christian's done
accumulated.
Oh yeah.
He going. I think but he only makes $275 a game. So
that's
I don't
true.
Know how much he's going to really recoup.
That's true.
Anyways, Rob had his time to shine. It's Key's time to shine. It's people's birthdays.
About?
As
oh,
far
yeah.
as you know, our time to shine. He brought them those old original horns.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring in that old school. Bring in a R. Kelly birthday shout out. You remember that one? You remember that one, Mike? It's your birthday. Hattie McDaniel, the original Halle Berry. Let's get ratchet. Hattie McDaniel. Hattie McDaniel was the first Oscar winner with her play in Gone with the Slaves.
You know really?
What? Actually, I have a someone who actually was in that play.
Who?
Hello?
Slave Key?
I gotta tell you something. I was in the actual burning down of Atlanta, Georgia when they did Gone with the Wind.
Slave Key, how were you there?
Because it was during the slave times, and Hattie McDaniels is one of the best biscuit makers you've ever had.
Wait, Slave Key.
She would
Gone
put
with the Wind
the
was
gizzards,
oh, yeah.
She would put the gizzards of the chicken off in that gravy.
Oh, I know you like that.
She would put brown sugar and honey and all kind of diabetic causing things off in those biscuits. They was
really
succulent.
Slave Key.
Did I tell you I have 5 babies by Hattie McDaniel?
Oh my God. Slave Key, no, you didn't. Little half breed running around.
One of them is Xavier McDaniels.
Oh, really?
Is my kid.
The X-Man?
He's the X-slave. That's why we called him X-Man, because he was the first
you know what?
To lead
that
the
sounds,
plantations.
That sounds very weird. And he was an aggressive basketball player, Slave Key. Was that from your side or what?
Well, Odin Polynice
actually
is another kid of mine with Hattie McDaniel. We called
is Jack
him.
Johnson one of your kids?
Well, that's funny you say that, because today is RIP Jack Johnson Day.
Uh-oh.
And guess what? Don't tell Master this, but you can tell Key. Key's the coolest slave master ever. He taught me how to read.
Uh-oh.
Don't tell the white master.
No, I ain't, man. Don't worry about that, man. I have a lot of white friends, though.
So now, you ever touched a white person?
Man, I touch a white woman every night before I go to bed, Slave Key.
You so lucky.
I know. Their skin is like cream.
Oh, wow.
Like milk. Have you ever had milk from a cow?
Well,
fresh milk?
Well, you know, I would actually jerk the nipples on the skin. cows. We call them heifers.
Did you not have a job for long? Because you're not supposed to jerk nipples, Slave Key.
Well, we had to milk some, and they said you better milk 17 gallons in 1 hour. Oh, so important. I would use both of my feet, all of my knuckles, and I would jerk the nipples off of them cows, and we would fill it up. And that's back in the days when they used to have the milkman, and they put the ice block on the front porch, and you put it on the front porch, and we we do our best stepping.
Oh, with that glass ice?
Yeah, the glass, and we put on our best clothes. It was so funny. We would use
your best stepping?
Well, best stepping and our best clothes and our best dry cleaning stuff. We would spend more money on the clothes than we'd actually get from the job we was working in.
That's what started that nigga mentality.
That's slaveness. Yeah, you gotta look good to make money. The suit costs 35 cents, and I would make 1 cent a week.
So you work 35 weeks for one suit?
But guess what? They let me keep the suit at the end. And I would take that suit and I would take one of my kids. Her name was actually Halle Berry. Halle Berry. Oh,
so you had a lot of mixed kids who were really popular.
She got ratchet. Yeah, but that's when I had that. I don't want to say it. I'm not even going to go down that path.
No, dude, tell me. I want to hear.
I lied to you, Rob.
What?
I said I've been with the white woman's.
You have?
She told me, I promise never to tell. I promise she told me, she told you, bring you that man dingo. She told me, don't tell nobody. So I bring her that man dingo. Is this a microphone on?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
She told me, bring that man dingo thing, and I put it in there, and I gave her a little Halle Berry, a little Ratchita. She was so ratchet when she was little, but she was so pretty.
Slave Key, you said some alarming things tonight.
I'm sorry. Let me finish these birthdays real quick.
Please.
Howlin' Wolf, who's actually one of my other slaves.
Howlin' Wolf,
he's
who's
my
that?
Cater cousin. Slave. He was a Howlin' Wolf. Hey, what's that white boy name that does this computer
Producer
stuff?
Mike. Producer Mike.
Producer Mike. Put in some of that Howlin' Wolf from back in the 20s.
Interesting right there, man. How do you, Slave Key, you're one of the most educated niggers I've ever met before. Is it okay if I call you that? I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay, but you're black and it doesn't make sense to me. It's not computing.
Oh, but I just got through reading Tom Finn.
You didn't say the GTA.
I was reading Huckleberry
Finn.
Yes,
but you said the ER.
Oh, that's what they said in that book, though.
Anyways, happy birthday to Dan Fouts, some big fat white man that can throw that pill.
Oh, he sure can.
Turn it. I'm going to do some of that
lady
slave,
took the pill.
The Slave Key math skills. 2011 minus 1951. He turned 79 years old today.
Really?
Oh, no, 60. I didn't carry the one. He turned 60 years old today, Dan Fouts. Happy birthday, fat boy.
Fox, A. Key. Your knowledge is killing me.
I got some more birthdays, too.
Well, just one more. No, give me two more.
No, I got one more. John Edwards, happy birthday to you.
Ooh-wee. So, John Edwards, let me tell you about that. Key.
I heard them congressmen be sending them wieners out on that Twitter. Take a picture of this real quick. I'm going to send it out on Twitter. I want to be like
Safe Key, put that away. Safe Key, put that away. Safe Key, stop that. Stop that.
Sorry.
Man, I just got the pimp slap and Save Key right now.
Sorry. I was going to slap you back, but I had to put it away.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Happy birthday to the DOC, who's actually the motivation of my voice. All right, I motivated his voice.
DC Owls.
DC Owls. Happy birthday.
DC Owls.
How old? Robert, how old?
48.
You're not close.
42.
But you're not that far. You're right in the middle. He's 43 45. Years old
He's
today.
43. Wow.
Happy birthday to.
5 years old.
Happy birthday actually, I'm going to try to make this makes sense to you. Happy birthday to J Electronica Andre 3000, baby mother brother in law. That's his baby Erica brother and brother, Erica Badont.
Today is her birthday?
No, it's DOC's birthday. Oh, so wow. I would say happy birthday to Andre 3000 and J Electronica.
J Electronica had a baby by her too?
Well, I know they was going out together real bad. You know, when you're going out together and you passing it in them slave fields, and sometimes babies come out and you have the baby and nobody knows, and
you just keep working.
You give it away.
You just keep working.
You're selling. They probably sold the baby, and the baby's going to be like an incredible
Andre 3000 bottom.
What?
This is another story. Go ahead, Slave Key. Okay.
You know what? There's something I do want to say, and I'm going to give this microphone back to Rob, Rob and Key. I don't, one of y'all Negroes. I'm going to give the microphone because I don't know how to work this telephones here, and it's beeping, and there's a voicemail on here, and I don't know what to do. So guess what?
What?
I'm out of here, man. Nice seeing you, Robert.
Okay. You know, Slave Key.
I thought I was leaving.
No, you out, Slave.
I don't know how to use this microphone. I don't know.
Bye. Okay, push. Just hand the key. Get Key.
Push the button.
Yes.
Hey, Robin Key, what's up? There's Shirley Huang Esquire from Twitter. And I just want to comment about the whole Curb Your Enthusiasm versus Seinfeld debate. And those are great shows. I mean, there was a time where I would watch Seinfeld on rerun anytime it came on. But, I mean, with Curb, it's just, like, so outrageous, and I think part of it is probably because it was on, HBO or whatever. And, I mean, Seinfeld was more observational, and, as far as the humor goes, and Curb, it's just whatever comes out of Larry David's crazy mind, and... like, he's just such an asshole that it's just so enjoyable to watch the situations that he puts himself in. And so, in my opinion, Curb's better. So, that's just my take on it. Hope you guys are doing good. Peace.
You know what's so funny? Here's a unique position that I am in. I've seen a gang of Seinfeld episodes, maybe all of them, maybe near several years.
Or a few of them twice, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
With Curb Your Enthusiasm, I don't have HBO and I haven't seen them. I've seen the repeats that they play on WGN.
It's not the same.
Huh? Right, but I'm telling you that even with the repeats, that show is funnier than Seinfeld to me because it's not about necessarily what they say. It's just the reality of the situations that he puts himself in that it just seems he makes. They're really weird situations, like probably wouldn't happen to most, but he makes it seem realistic, like that stuff would really happen to him.
I'm glad
Very believable that's the type of asshole that stuff happens to because he's like that. So that's why I like that. Like the Seinfeld, you know, people living downstairs, coming up, you know, not having jobs. That was an unbelievable. His was more reality. And that guy, Larry David, plays such a good asshole that you actually think that things like that happen to him. So that's why I think that show is genius and why it's better than Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's because Larry David got the pass to walk around and get into trouble without having an agenda for the day because he's rich.
Right.
He's set to be rich. Seinfeld is a comedian.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were doing too much without half of their party not having jobs, like you said before.
Right.
And somewhere deep in my soul, I think you stole that idea from me. I don't know why that sounded so familiar.
Uh-huh.
It was like I had my hand in my... I had my hand in your Muppet face, and you were like,
"Were you
going to
say that right now?"
And like, yeah, it was like, "Damn, Robert, you just stole my idea."
Oh.
But I'm glad we think the same because that's something that I'm glad people recognize that Seinfeld's ridiculous, and I think it's so ridiculous that you give it a pass,
right?
But Curb's ridiculous is actually accepted, so that makes it more genius because he has money to run around and be an asshole
do
that. And the people that he's an asshole with, they have enough money to do what they're doing.
Right.
And then, like I said, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm saying, hey, Seinfeld's not believable because that's absurd.
Right.
I mean, but at the same time, man, we'll see. I think in the next 10 years, we'll see which one's more classy because I think Seinfeld's dated just because the way they look sometimes throws you off, the freaking feathery hair, the half mullet that Seinfeld has.
No, it's just the comedy of this dude swearing and that it's steeped in Hollywood. And you know, here's the deal. I guess what the kicker is that you know that that it's really a person.
Who Larry David
is because he's talking and he's talking to real other stars. So when he goes and meets, oh, this person wants to have a party, or he meets Shaq, it's believable.
Exactly.
Because this motherfucker's a Hollywood star.
Yeah.
So and everybody refers to Seinfeld. So they're saying you created Seinfeld. Yeah. So you're all taken back like this dude, the rich dude who created Seinfeld, and he really did.
And he's not a star.
And he's not.
But the stars know him, and he has money. He has crazy money.
Exactly.
So that's why he can walk around and people treat him like that because. He could go to a dry cleaner and they don't know who he is.
Right.
He has those situations.
Exactly.
And he could go to the front row of the Lakers
right.
and we buy all of that.
Right, right.
I don't care, right. man. The whole reason why I brought this up on Twitter is because July 10th, 2011, we are going to be privileged to watch the 8th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I can't wait. And if that doesn't make you get HBO, you, Rob, you listener, then you ain't shit to me. Or maybe we'll have an RIP day for you next year at the same time. And actually, I forgot one more thing. So
after you said if I don't get HBO, you will hope I die next year? You forgot something else? What else could there be?
Happy birthday, Sandra.
Son just told me he wanted me to die. Happy birthday, Sandra.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mom.
And have a great time in Atlantic City.
Yeah, have a great time in Atlantic City. And I love that
black.
You have these trips. And it always happens around your birthday. And I haven't seen you in your birthday in so long because you have these trips during your birthday. But you know,
dear Mama,
it's your day. So have a happy birthday, Mom. And this is a typical sports show. Call us, man. I appreciate the call we got from Shirley Wong. I love the OG ATIP Nation.
Thank you.
We need a new generation of ATIP Nation. So please call in 480-664-9378. Don't be scared. Don't act like how we perceive LeBron James in the fourth quarter, because you know what? You have talents of your own that we appreciate. Even if the shot that you make and don't go in, you can still facilitate us and bring those points to us, and we'll close those deals for you. So what's on your sports mind? 480-664-9378. I am Dwayne Wade. Rob might be Jason Terry. We trying to close this show out the right way, doing what we do. You got anything to say, Rob?
Dallas and six. Knuckle.
You crazy.
Mister, a nigga that's wrong. Amplify his ass, and what you see is what's saw. Motherfuckers I've slaughtered, blow him out the water. Word to me. Oh, the father, my man is deadly as a pin in a hand grenade. 5 seconds before you get played, you can't throw me. I'll get you a blow up. Ever see a sucker scattered to make you throw up? Then I take advantage. You can't manage to get up. Or you can do a sit up. I get lit up. Hit up Ice Cube. Tear shit up like a dude you can bet on. Collide like a head on collision. Stutter stepping is an incision. Other niggas saying exactly what I vision. Because I'm gone, you think I left you all. But I stand your ass like cholesterol. When I blast, I'm solid as Alcatraz. And if you escape, you better swim fast. Cause I'll catch up physically and mentally. And the capital punishment's the penalty. Sit in the electric chair, grab a hole. Pull the switch, your body twitch. Your eyes explode out your skull. Cause being dope on the floor is a N-O. Niggas didn't know that I can go off and show off to throw off the law. Turn, take 10 spaces, then draw. What's left is a motherfucker dead in the alley. Ice Cube is the shit on the grand finale.
Yeah, that was funky. But now we need the motherfucking ruthless villain to speak. So kick it.
The grand finale, yours, my turn to bust. Don't let weak turn to dust. If you're weak, it ain't your fault. Just think of kicking the ass and get turned into a pillow of salt. And niggas that bite me just to taste me. I make the punk motherfuckers buckle up for safety. And those that don't, they call from the flash. And scream like a bitch when he's caught in a whiplash. Giving a bang cause I'm urgent. Rearrange the motherfucker face like a surgeon. And ain't no excuse for the torture delivering. Till thinking I scared you, I can tell that you're shivering. Lyrics label with an accent out of G. I said, fuck the police, Joe, so not after me. I'm wanted by the law, so I stay low. Representing a pimp while bitches making my dope. In a different stage, I must have went on a rampage. Me and the doc are always hitting the front page. For one, the villain is stepping up to the shelf. And when I enter the party, niggas shit on themselves. Fair for what? Maybe cause I'm red. And when they clean up the shit, yo, they do it again. So fuck it, sit back cool and relax while Weezy busts the facts, kicking the grand for now.
Yeah, y'all know what time it is. Easy motherfucking ease in the house doing damage.
They made it easy for me to come off like the enforcer. Math murdering motherfuckers in the course of an everyday situation where I was stalked by the car. I do a motherfucker walk by. Easy E and the D up to the C in. Run house and yo, there be no disagreeing. Cause if there is some, you're feeling staticky. Then I'm arrested.
For what?
Assault battery, never outdone. Only outdoing. Loving the bitches and leave the hoes move ruined. Why? Cause they're addicted. To them addicted. The pleasure of pain, the wing ding inflicted.
Yeah.
They never forget what's done in bed by Easy. The name of a cop and hardhead. Cool, but local like Loke never broke cause it pays to be ruthless. This is why I do this. I don't give a fuck about fame. I'd rather deal with a number than a motherfucker's name.
Word.
Give me paid and then rap. Cause all the other bullshit without money ain't jack. Easy, but not that easy to deal with.
especially if you're popping bullshit, the E-A-D-Y into the E, expression of thought on the motherfucking grand finale.
Yeah, that shit was funky. Last but not least is the motherfucking D.O.C. This is your album, so that means you definitely gotta get funky, so run it.
Swinging, singing, a brand new rap on a rhythm concocted by my homie in the back end. If it makes you giggle, it must be kind of funny, but to me it's kind of cool.
Tell him why.
I'm making money, tripping off the man with the swift hand movement. Proving if you're grooving, then it's cool when he be doing it. Taking a second for me to blow your mind, cause I'm the diggy diggy doc, and I would've been down with rock, but I was smart. The D.O. to the C, knowing the formula. It's rough, I mean it's funky enough for me, and you can't ever listen. Nothing else to listen. D-O-N-T-M-O-V-E-O without permission. Fuck, the D.O. to the C, I'm just better than the normal man. And I'll be damn if a sucker can never complete with the elite. Much less beat, it's like dancing with two left feet. Never smile when the doc is in the room, or I'ma send your ass right to the temple of doom. I got raw when I came to Cali. Now I'm with N.W.A. on the motherfucking grand finale.